The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Skiing. This is the TWBC Podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and welcome to this latest edition of the TWBC Podcast. I am your esteemed host, Tony Lightfoot, and thanking you for your support once again on this ever-growing water ski podcast. All right, then. So it's almost coming to an end. Our trip to Europe, which started off in Greece and continued on to San Gervasio, we have a week in between to end off with the Europe and Africa Water Ski Championships. We're about 48 hours from getting on a plane and making our way back to North America. And I'm actually going to make this podcast episode more about the crew rather than myself. And with that, I'm going to throw to our crew members. Got Vincent Stadelbauer here. Say hi.
Hello, everyone. This is Vince.
All right.
Glad
then
to be here.
And I've got Connor Pauly.
Hi, Tony. Thank you for having me.
And last but by no means least, Jeremy Scholl.
Hello, everyone. Great to be here.
All right, then. And with that, I'll hand this microphone over to Jeremy. You hand over yours to Connor. And let's fire away.
Fire away. Look, it's so incredible to be here in Italy and Jolly Ski Lake because, you know, they treat us so well. And it's always a pleasure to come back here.
I think more of the extravagance behind this is spending time with the crew for the past 4 years and getting to travel overseas with them and experience all the memories together and cherish times with Tony, cherish times with Vince, and even Jeremy for this matter. We all have a blast on the crew. Thank you, Vince, for having us.
Thanks a lot, guys, for coming. Joining what Jeremy and Connor said, it's unbelievable the amount of traveling we do together and what we can achieve together. It's definitely been a fun trip, and I'm kind of sad that it's coming to an end. Thanks a lot to George Hatzis to make us be able to go to Greece and to Europe for that matter, and to Matteo Lozzeri for also having us for a seventh time, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Without those two tournament organizers and without a webcast sponsor, we wouldn't be able to do the trip over to Europe. So it's definitely a big highlight for us as TWBC to be able to go to Europe every summer, and we're definitely looking forward for next year.
All right, then. Well, with that, let's go to the very beginning of the European trip, and it has to start from somewhere. It starts from Orlando, and it starts with all of the crates. Vince, kind of give us a broad idea of what kind of ordeal awaits us whenever we travel to an airport with 20 plus cases.
Well, as you say, that's a bit the problem, is we never know what we're really walking into. It's definitely, traveling for us is not easy. It's the biggest concern. It's the biggest, is the thing holding us down the most is the traveling. It's expensive. It takes a lot of effort. But yeah, as Tony said, we left from Orlando. We flew with United. That's a company that we can fly with. They allow us to take a lot of bags for a fair amount of price. It takes 22 cases to do what we do. It takes about 1,200 pounds worth of gear that we're hauling around. And it's definitely a bit expensive. But we had a fairly smooth trip coming over to Greece first. That was the first stop. Then making it from Greece to Italy was a bit more challenging, a bit more low-cost airline that are a bit harder to deal with. And tomorrow we'll be flying back to, no, after tomorrow, Monday, we'll be flying back to the US, and cross finger on how it's going to go. But it's definitely a lot of pressure making sure everything shows up and that nothing breaks down.
Now, what you mentioned, the low-cost airline. Should we mention them by name at least? They provided us with a little bit of a headache when it came to exiting Greece into Italy. From one stop to the next.
They give us so much trouble. I have no problem saying their name. It's Wizz Air. Never fly Wizz Air again. The stewardess might be a little pretty, but the bag costs are definitely not as pretty. So if you're traveling with a ski bag, don't travel with Wizz. If you're traveling with a backpack, you might have a good experience on the airline.
Yeah. All right, then. Any comments there, Jeremy? Because you're eager to...
Well, absolutely. I would say, yeah, the stewardess and everybody, they're young and pretty and nice. But if you're traveling with one bag on your bag, it's a great airline. But we have 22 cases that weigh more than we do. So, yeah, it makes a big challenge. It starts off like a little better price, but then it becomes more expensive.
And one of the things that kind of sets Greece apart from a lot of places is the smoking. That's the thing, you know, because, I mean, almost every other person is puffing away on cigarettes, and they seem to smoke with, you know, with very, very little regard of everyone behind you, you know. And, you know, I mean, Greece was a fabulous spot. I mean, like, cuisine and everything, and the nightlife and the hospitality that was granted to us during the Caiaphas event. Not to mention the fact that Caiaphas was just an absolutely mind-blowing event itself. The thing that kind of got me a little bit is the cigarette smoke, and still trying to get it out of my system even now.
You mean, Tony, you don't want to go home smelling like smoke every day, or you don't want the cases to have the tar left on them?
Yeah, pretty much. You got that right on the money there. But let's delve a little bit into Caiaphas, because that event should serve as a paradigm for water ski events going forward, especially at the pro level, Vince.
Yeah, definitely. George Hatzis, the tournament organizer of Caiaphas, with his whole team, Rikos and everyone that helps, they definitely do it different. They make it more of a party out of it. It was a big event this year. Last year they did it for the first time. There was a bit less pros because it was the first edition, was colliding with another event. But this year they had everyone and they stepped it up themselves. It was even more of a bigger party. More amateur skier, a bigger tournament over 3 days, and they're able to have a lot of people on shore and make really a party out of it. Definitely an example to try to follow. Definitely not a fairly easy example to follow, but yeah, if you're in a position to be able to have people at a water ski site and have people to actually come out and watch, do so. Definitely George put on a great event, and us as a webcast company, we're a bit more ready for it. Last year, we didn't really know what we were diving into, and there was noise everywhere and people walking everywhere and people almost blocking Tony's view of the TV and all that. But this year, we're a bit more ready for it. We're blocking off areas. We were moving speakers as we were going, and definitely enjoyed it a lot. And that's big time one that I'm looking for next year.
Yes, I'm definitely looking forward to it this year, and I'm kind of wondering, how does George Hatzis step it up from this year? Because, I mean, we were prepared so far as webcasting event, but we were not prepared for how much he was going to step it up from last year to this year. I mean, case in point, I mean, he had like the exploding pyrotechnics and like the streams and stuff like that. Almost took our drone down there, Jeremy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for me, the music's fantastic. You know, I'm probably one of the 8% that really love it, enjoy it, but it's, I think everybody does, just because it's just great. It's a great vibe. People are having fun. You know, they're learning about water skiing. There's a lot of new people there, and it's packed. Everybody's there to have a great time.
Yeah. Me being the drone pilot on TWBC, especially when those streamers came down, I didn't really know what to do, but like everything was just so chaotic but so much fun. It's like Vince said, it's definitely something to follow, but I don't think you can do the same vibe as Caiaphas is a one of its own. I wasn't sure what to film. I was busy filming the crowd, then there was skiing, the guys were running 41. It was a tournament for the records. I can't imagine anything more.
And the guy on the stilts and the jugglers and the dancing girls on the, I mean, it was hard to focus out there, you know. And the publicity for the event, oh my word. I mean, every single day George Hatzis, Vince, was on TV, and every time you drove into the town, you just couldn't avoid him. He was on every freaking corner, you know, on every poster you could see about the event. George Hatzis was there.
Definitely. We all say, all the skiers were saying this is the Greek vibe, but this was definitely the Greek vibe. The Greek skiers are the only one that can put it, and the fact that we were in Greece and the way the event was running was definitely exciting.
All right, then. So we'll continue on from Greece, and a tournament with a little bit of a different vibe was San Gervasio, which was the next tournament we flew to out of Athens using Wizz Air into Malpensa. And our transportation was a little bit different this year. I mean, we actually got a full-size transit van, and everything fit like a Tetris puzzle. So we had that going for us. And, you know, the San Gervasio Pro-Am, I mean, in its 9th edition, we'll celebrate the 10th year anniversary. And I think they're well on their way to pulling off for something real big next year. But for the time being, they still came through very, very well with this event. And Connor, maybe you can describe it a little bit for us.
Yeah, so the feeling going from Caiaphas to more of a standard tournament, I was a little down coming into it, knowing just what we came off of. But going into San Gervasio and seeing the site for the first time and experiencing everything for the first time, it lifted me right back up. I'm like, I am glad I am here at Mateo's site. And we are going to see some really good scores behind these Malibus. Vince was out there skiing in the amateur event along with Jeremy. Talk about how you feel on the water at the San Gervasio.
Well, I mean, San Gervasio is a fantastic tournament. And, you know, Mateo was saying, how do I do this? How do I make it like Caiaphas? And I'm like, you don't. You do it your way. You do your thing. Because what you're doing, in my opinion, is a fantastic, beautiful tournament where you feel very appreciated. You know, the bibs have your name on it. There's a lot of messages. There's notes. There's personal notes inside your bags. What they do here at Jolly Ski is, I think it's second to none.
And definitely San Gervasio for us as TWC and for me personally is a bit the home away from home. Matteo is the first person that hired us outside Swiss, and personally, Matteo has always been a very good friend to my brother, very good friend to my family. So it always feels good to be in San Gervasio. The tournament keeps growing every year. He sells out on the amateurs' entries in something like 40 minutes. 50 amateurs sign up for his tournaments already 4 months out. So yeah, the tournament is definitely a must to be at. TWC feels very comfortable at it. And it is the pioneer of pro skiing in Europe. Matteo said it when he did it. And now all the pro events that happens in Europe, it's thanks to Matteo's event and Matteo's events only. This I believe strongly into it.
You know, there used to be a long, long time ago, and this was celebrated on an NBC sitcom called Cheers, a place where everybody knows your name. And you could say the same for La Campagnoli, just down the road here, you know, because, I mean, with TWBC visiting there every night or every other night, the waitress staff there knows your gluten allergies, Vince, knows your name, you know their name, you know the owner, and, I mean, it's just one of those ideal situations from a culinary standpoint.
Yeah, it's definitely a camaraderie. There is a restaurant right down the road where we do the opening ceremony of the San Gervasio Pro-Am. And as Tony said, the waiters have been there forever. The owner is a good friend of Matteo. He comes and watch the water skiing during the event. And the Campagnoli is also the home away from home. It's the restaurant that I feel if I own a restaurant, I would like to have the restaurant like that. It's definitely a must-see. You must come to Italy just for that restaurant almost.
Even the camaraderie from the Campagnoli. I mean, I'm walking to the lake yesterday morning, and I'm joking about hitchhiking on my Instagram story, and not even 30 seconds later after I post that video, the owner of the Campagnoli stops. He asked me if I want to ride for the 20-minute walk. I mean, the feeling that you get when you're in San Gervasio, it's small town, but wow, everybody cherishes everybody, and you can definitely feel that love when you get onto the site and even in the city town of San Gervasio.
What about you, Jeremy?
I would say, you know, that's probably my favorite place in Europe to eat. They invite us in, and we come there all sweaty and dirty and stinking of lakes and all sorts of things, and they don't turn us down. They always let us in there, and everybody gets what they want. We eat well,
and it's packed every weekend. You know, it's right smack bang in the middle of the cornfields and whatever's growing around. And this place, you know, serves you stuff on a plate that was actually grown and made there.
I mean, that's the best part to me. It's the best part. I mean, the food is fantastic. It's farm-raised, you know, food, dairy, meat, vegetables, and you just can't get a better experience right there. And so for me, I'm really happy to be there, and I look forward to it again.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we did the Greek stop, we did the first Italian stop with Caiaphas and San Gervasio back to back. Great performances. I mean, obviously, Ali Nicholson stands out in my mind at Caiaphas, getting through 39.5 off for the first time. Freddie Winter and Nate Smith, and I think one other person scored into 9.75 in Caiaphas. And I apologize if.
Will Asher.
Will Asher, of course. And then Freddie Winter again into San Gervasio into 9.75 meters again. So, I mean, we had some great skiing, not only in the amateurs, but also in the pros as well. And the pro head-to-head battle between Freddie Winter and Thomas DeGasperi was one for the ages, Vince.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the pro skiing, I'm not going to comment too much on it because you guys see it during the webcast and you hear it through the podcast, but the level of water skiing in general, but definitely slalom skiing is through the roof. I mean, we say it every year, but now it's reaching a level that you do 3 at 41 and you're the last person of the finals. So yeah, I mean, the level is absolutely insane, and even with a level so high, we still see a bit the same names at the top of the leaderboard. And I would say the one coming out of Europe as a real winner is Freddie. Freddie's been looking very, very strong in Europe. We'll see if he can carry that through the fall. But yeah, the pro skiing has been exciting as always.
I might have to disagree with you there because in my mind, Ali Nicholson.
Because
in San Gervasio, she took advantage of a major mistake from Jamie Ball.
I was a bit too focused on the guys. So on the guys' end, for me, Freddie, and on the women's end, Ali Nicholson, definitely very consistent, ran 39 for the first time, but at the same time, not to underestimate it, Jamie Ball, that ran 39 at every tournament on her works or two. So both HO skiers definitely making it up.
But I also don't think it's just the skiing that keeps getting better. A little bit behind the scenes knowledge from the crew members is this crew is getting smoother. The setup's getting smoother. Everything about the tournaments are getting smoother. The skiing's amazing.
Well, taking the cameraman out of the boat is a game changer.
I kind of miss being in the boat. I'm not going to be. I'm going to be honest on that one.
You miss being right in the target whenever they ping the handle towards you?
Yeah, I definitely had a few of those between Freddie Winter and Robert Pagosi in Miami. Definitely not the hot seat definitely the hot seat in the boat, I should say, but it's nice to be able to chat with the judges and chat with the drivers and feel everybody's emotions coming into the tournaments. But now that we have that, we have better camera angles. The DJI camera is insane. We got the drone now, and everybody's getting smoother. Like, even last night, we were talking about how we can make better camera angles to make tomorrow even better than the day prior. And Jeremy was one of the main guys that was thinking about that. What do you think about whenever you're watching the webcast?
Well, I think it really makes me happy to have a good shot, you know? Like, if they're not coming out well and we're not, like, in sync,
I'm not in a good mood. We spend the whole day doing this, you know, all day long. And
I know that you like those shots because every time you open up Instagram and you see your camera work on there, you beam, don't you?
Well, it's the biggest compliment for me, Tony, because I don't need a hug or a thank you. It's just when the skiers repost my content, our content, TWBC's work, that's what it's all about.
And for the better or the worse, I think for the better, when we do well, it's whatever we do stays on forever. So when we do good, we're very happy about it. And when we make a mistake or we do bad, we get very annoyed by it because we know that mistake is going to stay up forever. So that's what I like in what we do. And that's what I think keeps pushing the crew to do well if you make a mistake, everyone's going to get to see it until YouTube exists.
Now let's talk about a little downside that happened at the San Gervasio during the men's finals. Talking about that, Vince, you were super down about it because it's something out of our control. We lost internet in the major finals after the skiing was incredible.
Yeah, that was very frustrating, and that was unnecessarily failure that we couldn't have any control. The Luthier family have worked very hard during the winter to provide us better internet. As Tony mentioned, San Gervasio, it's fairly remote, so it's very hard to get internet. They spent literally the whole winter getting better internet. They got better internet. We were able to have much better quality. We did 3 days of event without any problem. And obviously, in the men's head-to-head final, right after Freddie Winter ran 10-7, Thomas De Gasperi was about to go at 10-7 when the heat of the moment, we lost internet, and we only gained it back when the skiing was done, pretty much 5 minutes later. This is not the organizer's fault. It's not our fault. There's nothing really we can do about it. But it's definitely those things that when you webcast, you're exposed a bit to the element, as much as we don't like it, and I try to not think about it, we are truly exposed.
But we did a makeup afterwards, as we were very conscious at the time that that the internet was down. We at least recognized that and acknowledged that, and so when the internet got back up, thank goodness for instant replay, because we could actually replay those runs and at least provide in some small measure some kind of makeup to our wide and growing skiing audience there, Jeremy.
Yes, you know, I'm thinking about this now, and I'm on my phone, I'm watching the broadcast while I'm filming and shooting the skiers, and my phone goes out. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on? I start freaking out, because I'm like, I know what Vince is going through, just to keep it going and to keep the content rolling and to keep everything rolling, because it's a big process to get it all running again.
Yes, indeed. But the event turned out to be a great success, and you can see that plainly by checking out the webcast again for the San Gervasio Pro-Am, the ninth edition, presented by Santo de So.
You still have it.
He's figured it out from the pre-show.
You still have it.
All right, then. So, well, we're here at the Europe and Africa Water Ski Championships, but it wasn't quite a seamless transition from San Gervasio to these championships. We had about a week off. So, Vince, tell us what happened with you for that week.
So as Tony said, we had a week off. Me, I'm going to do it quick because it wasn't that interesting of a week. I went home to the real home, to motherland, to Switzerland. I enjoyed the 3 days in the mountain and 3 days in the city, and then make it back to pick up the crew.
Visions of Sound of Music.
Exactly. I went to Serenity, the mountain, no cables, no computer, almost no phone, just a dirt bike and myself. and did that. Got some rest a little bit, got to ski a little bit before Europeans, but I'm going to leave it to you. You guys had a fun trip.
Yes, indeed. And between Connor and Jeremy and myself, we took it upon ourselves to take the train. We'd already purchased Eurail passes to cover the train tickets. All we had to do is cover the reservations wherever they came into play. But Connor, your experience with European trains when we started off in Brescia.
So, at first, I was planning on doing the trip with you and Jeremy, but we'll hear about that shortly. And I figured out all the trains got booked. So, I took a slightly different trip than you guys, but I had an absolute blast on my trip. A little bit confusing at first. I'm used to cars and planes. Trains is something else that I have not been used to so much. So
you're not the only one. Most people in the United States are not used to the concept of traveling by train. For pleasure.
Exactly.
From Tampa.
Yeah, I'm from Tampa. But no, it was a great trip. I had a friend come with me, and we took beautiful photos all over. And that's really what the trip for me was about, was taking photos in front of these incredible places. I met up with friends. I went to Venice, made some friends in Venice, and then I went to
Paris. Oh, it was
Paris.
Hot in Venice.
Oh, dude. It was ridiculous, but we had a very nice crew dinner in Venice, though. The last night before we all split off, we all worked as a team, and Jeremy cooked an amazing meal. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And
so how much were all the ingredients? Just to give folks in the United States a bit of an idea of how much food cost in this part of the world, you know, because I mean, it was a steal for what you spent.
Well, it was a steal. I was preparing a meal for one night and I got my bill. It was like $30. I was like, I went back to the store and bought more stuff because I'm like, that's alcohol, food, meat, cheese, the whole nine yards. And the total cost was $40. So, and we ate, and these guys had food to eat after Tony and I ventured off, and we had a great meal.
All right, then. And where we ventured off was to Venice Santa Lucia station and got on the night train to Vienna, where we had a guide meet us and tour around the city for that day. You know, your impressions about that?
Well, the whole trip, I mean, was amazing. It was nice for me just to kind of go with the flow, Tony knowing the rail system so well, so I didn't have to, like, you know, make major mistakes along the way. It was super flawless, and we didn't have to, we weren't held up anywhere. We did have some delays, an hour there, but other than that, I mean, we probably traveled over 4,000 kilometers. I mean,
in the entirety of the rail trip. So yeah. So we'll go step by step here, okay? Because I mean, we're in Venice, and then we went to Vienna, and went through the palaces and all that kind of stuff, and then we went on to Berlin, you know. And you know, I wasn't really too aware of this at the time, but you kind of have a little bit of a distaste for anything that concerns war and warfare, and there's plenty of examples of that in Berlin, unfortunately. And I kind of had to take a step back and let you take the reins on the journey a little bit.
Well, I did make a suggestion because it was all about that, and then I was like, "Well, why don't we try something different?" And you looked it up, and we went to the film museum, exactly, and we did some of that, and that was great. That was refreshing after all the other stuff.
Yes, indeed, and yeah, some of the things that we saw there was the Brandenburg Gate and Checkpoint Charlie and all of that stuff. And yeah, you had a fun time navigating the Berlin and the U-Bahn and the S-Bahn and the public transportation, because that is something that most Americans don't really get to sample fully. You know, public transportation for the most part.
No, but I had good instruction and I followed it well, and I wound up back where I started from, so it was good.
All right, so moving on from Berlin, Amsterdam. That is a whole different world and a whole different kettle of fish there. And you know, we got to see the museums, the Van Gogh Museum and the Anne Frank Museum, and got to walk around the streets and the canals and that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, a lot of people say there aren't too many differences between the major cities in Europe, but I mean, it's night and day between Berlin and Amsterdam, right?
Right, absolutely. I mean, Amsterdam for me was probably one of the most fun because it was just, it's a beautiful city. It's a beautiful city with the canals and the water and the atmosphere. It's light and fun. It was a good time.
All right, then. And from there, moving on from Amsterdam, we continued towards Paris, where Connor was already there taking photos. Unfortunately, we didn't rendezvous with him in Paris, but we certainly looked to some of the major monuments, L'Arc de Triomphe and the Eiffel Tower and the Notre Dame Cathedral and all of that stuff. So you enjoyed Paris, right?
Oh, it was spectacular. Beautiful place. I noticed, like, I was posting all this stuff while we were traveling, and people got excited about the, you know, Paris. We were in Paris, so...
Yeah, in Paris, I mean, I was a little tired. This is halfway through our trip at this point, and I went straight from Venice to Paris. So at this point, I'm 2 days in, a little bit exhausted, and my friend was like, okay, you gotta come out and go to the Eiffel Tower at 1 a.m. I'm like, okay, that's definitely not happening.
Hard pass on that one.
And she's like, no, it's definitely worth it, and it was worth it. So if you're ever in Paris, you got to take a look at the Eiffel Tower at 1 a.m. and that's when the entire thing lights up and sparkles. It's beautiful. And the next day we went over to the Luxembourg and took amazing photographs with another skier that we met up with. Her name is Maya. And then I texted Tony asking to do some laundry because we all get a little bit low after this trip, traveling in backpacks, but it turns out we all made it well. And at that point, I went to Zurich, Switzerland, spent a day there, and got some amazing fondue. Thanks for the recommendation, Vince. And where were you guys at this point?
We were getting ready to go towards Marseille, which was on the south coast, and Jeremy got to experience the TGV, the full-on, fully leaded TGV experience that would take you from Paris all the way to the south of France in 3 hours.
Yeah, the super train was incredible. We got there extremely quick. And the best part, I think, with, you know, Paris was a little cool and cloudy. When we got down to south France, it was sunny and warm, and the beaches were amazing.
Yeah, indeed. We went to the Catalan beach on the Marseille, and, you know, experienced some of the food down there. It was absolutely gorgeous. And then by that time, we were supposed to be making our way towards Brescia and rendezvousing back with Vince. And we took the train all along the south coast, all the way along Monte Carlo and Ventimiglia and Savona, and all the way back up to Milan and then up to Brescia, which we won't bore you with so far as the details of that are concerned. So we all rendezvoused on Monday prior to the San Gervasio Pro-Am, so it was pretty much reconstructing the set and getting after it.
I got a quick question before we move on. You guys did 7 cities in 7 countries. You have to go back to only 1 city. Which one did you choose, Tony?
Berlin.
Jamie?
I would say Amsterdam.
You, Connor?
Okay, it's definitely going to be Venice. I mean, I love boats, and I definitely maybe want to live there one day.
So we got one in Austria, one in Germany, and one in Italy.
Good. All right. One in Austria. Who
what said did you choose?
Berlin.
I had Berlin also. Okay, Germany and Italy.
All right, then.
Yeah, then back, that was easy because we wrapped in San Gervasio, and then we traveled leaving all our bags in San Gervasio, and we're back at the Europeans in San Gervasio. So what, just as Tony said, reconstructing our spider web, as I like to call it.
Yeah.
And
we did it a little differently this time around, because much of what we constructed originally was pretty much on the outside, but we basically took most of what was inside on the ground floor of the Judges Tower and put tables in there, and just really went to work, and it created ourselves a nice little production facility.
Yeah, definitely. We did. We spent a bit of a day doing housekeeping, rearranging. Normally, we stay on the tents outdoors with all the computers and the screens and what it takes to do a webcast, the base station, as we'd like to call it. And we relocated inside because Italy's been suffering very heavy thunderstorm with hail and wind and all that. So we didn't really want to risk it. We're actually expecting a thunderstorm tonight. So we're pretty hunkered down, but all the computers are indoor clean, but it took a little bit of moving around, and we did that.
And where did we go to eat after we all arrived? And
Campagnoli
yeah. Again. For those of you that have never been to this part of the world, you've got no idea how good this place is.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Definitely. Yeah. And then Europeans, where as we're recording this, we're 2 days in. We got 1 day to go, final, and then we'll be back in the US on Monday.
Okay, so far as the European Championships are concerned, we've done all the elimination rounds. So kind of what stands out for you in terms of performance? For me, it's Vincenzo Marino getting into 10.25 for the first time.
Yeah, Vincenzo Marino running 10.7 for the first time. That is standing out. In women's slalom, the score to make the final, I think it's been the highest in the past 3-4 years. It took 2:11 this year to make the final. So that's nice to see. A full stack Ukrainian team, that's nice to see.
Yeah,
with a lot of youngsters,
most of them are
hard as it gets in trick and in jump, also in slalom, but in trick and jump definitely impressive.
Most
me.
Of them are under 15.
Yeah, exactly. At this Open European, we have technically the under 14 category, under 17, under 21, open plus 35 and plus 45 all competing under the Open European. So that's pretty cool to see.
Gennady speeds as well.
Gennady Gurelia going out and skiing at 36 in slalom and taking the ramp and going in overall. That's definitely a performance that stands out. And then
a big, it will, by the time this podcast comes out, you guys will all know, but I'm rooting for Tigas. I'm big time rooting for Tigas to take his 10th win, 4th in a row. We'll see. We'll know tomorrow, and you guys will definitely know by the time this thing gets posted, but I'm rooting for Tigas.
And I'm also rooting for our crew member, Miss Alice Bagnoli, absolutely killing it. TWBC, this event, the water skiing crew on TWBC, Vince almost made it into the finals and skied. What was the score again?
2:39.
Yeah, 2:39. Absolutely impressive. And Alice's been killing it in jump and tricks and even today in slalom.
She's actually the only female competitor in overall with markers in all three finals.
Well, that is that's news to me.
Not even Janina has that.
Wow. Yeah. She is killing it this season.
Alice.
Let's go, Alice.
Tino, we love you.
Vince loves you.
What about you, Jeremy?
Well, for the win, you mean? I don't know. It's gotta. There's three in my mind right now that are gonna do it. It's you know, it's basically Brando or Tigas, one of the two, I think.
What about Sasha?
Well, that three. Yeah. That's the third one. Thanks for reminding me.
I guess Jeremy's rooting for Team Italy, not Team France.
I think it's gonna be fantastic how it's gonna turn out. So I'm looking forward to shooting it with these guys.
Now I'm rather looking forward to the overall battle because I mean I have my little spreadsheet, have my little tablet next to my announcing point, calculating all the totals and all the permutations and all of that kind of stuff, you know. So that kind of gets me going a little bit, especially this is one of the very few tournaments that we get to do that actually has an overall element involved.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm water ski nerdy, and then I see you with your overall spreadsheet, and then I'm thinking maybe I'm not that water ski nerdy. But yeah, the overall is going to be interesting. It's Demir in the lead as of now, correct?
Actually, Louis Duplan Freiburg.
Louis Duplan, okay.
And then Eduardo, and then Demir.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the one thing that I figured out between Vince and Tony is Vince loves, absolutely cherishes professional water skiing. But Tony, he doesn't really care too much about one. He cares about the entire sport more than anybody on this planet, and that is so impressive to me. Even going back to some of our old webcasts, we'll talk about some of our future webcasts shortly, but going back to our old webcast, U.S. Nationals, we are dead after these events. It's 7 days, 5 a.m. wake-ups, go to bed at midnight, and Tony, after 7 days, he is so he's so sad that it's coming to an end, and the rest of us are like, yes, it's coming to an end. But Tony, I don't know how you love this sport so much. Thank you for being here, and thank you for being a part of the sport. We really need you in the sport.
Oh, shucks.
It's right.
All right, then. Upcoming events. Okay. We're, like I said, we're less than 48 hours away from getting on a plane and heading back to, how do you pronounce that, that airport in
Newark.
Perfect. You got it right this time.
You figured it out.
I'm on the pressure
just
now.
Just watch the vlog if you guys have not seen how Vince likes to say Newark.
Newark. Well, it's about the same as my pronunciation for Ventimiglia, I guess. I guess I'm going to get
what
it right.
What I know is that we're going to have a rough next 48 hours coming up.
Yeah, indeed. If we can actually dodge these raindrops and storms and what have you. Actually, before we even started this event, we actually had a hailstorm which caused quite a bit of damage
and closed down the airport here in Malpensa.
Oh wow! Yeah, so that kind of gives you an idea of how extreme the weather can get around here. So upcoming events, we landed in the United States, we got a few weeks to go. We've got about 4 weeks in the interim. You, Vince, along with John are actually heading over towards the Nationals to do some filming for an upcoming documentary. For those of you that are like watching documentaries, check our one out, The Unknown Sport of Water Skiing. It's on the TWBC YouTube channel. If you haven't seen that yet, give it a view, give it a like, and give it a share indeed. So, but a new documentary in the offering right now.
Yeah, we're going to be shooting a little documentary for USA Water Ski about a bit US National. As you guys know, normally we do the webcast at US National, but this year it's a little tricky. It's on three lakes. We can only offer webcasts on two lakes. So they decided to opt up for a documentary, so we'll be shooting that. taking a bit of rest, tweaking a couple stuff on the behind the scene on the computer, and get ready for a packed fall. We have first week of September, we have the Mastercraft Pro at Ski Fluid in Polk City, Florida, and then Malibu Open, Alabama, Traverse Grand Prix, Groveland, Florida, which will be a great warm-up for then the World Championships happening beginning of October. So we definitely have a packed fall, and I'm looking forward to be back in our fancy trailer in the AC and broadcasting in the US.
And talking about the Open European, or not the Open European, sorry, the Open World Championships happening at Travers, that marks the 2-year anniversary for one of our crew members, Mr. Jeremy Shaw.
Yes,
how
sir.
Has it been working for good old Vince for 2 years?
Wow, I would sum it up as an adventure. I'm not a redneck anymore because I've been overseas now, and this is
like
my
that Coldplay song, Adventure of a Lifetime.
Adventure as a, of a lifetime, because I've been in Europe 3 different times, 3 visits. This is the 3rd one. Thank you very much, TWBC and Vince. And yeah.
Let's not forget that we went to South America as well, Latin America twice.
We got there. I mean,
you
like,
want to bring
that
up, Tony?
In Christmas
you want to talk about Chile?
Do you want to talk about Chile?
We can bring it up. It was an absolute blast. We might have a little bit of personal memories coming from there that very few people will ever find out about.
And some of them that were made very, very public with a viral video, of course.
Yeah, you can't forget about the viral video. South America was definitely memories for a lifetime, and I can't wait to make numerous memories with this crew for the upcoming events. And just basically move on from what's happened in the past and keep growing and expanding for the future.
I told Jeremy when he started working for us, you'll see you'll be traveling between 50,000 to 70,000 miles a year. He never believed me.
No, what I looked think, at you like
what
you were
think
crazy.
Now? What do
I
you
thought
think
you were
now?
Crazy. I added it up. I set my Google up so I could measure every footprint. And it was 60,000 plus my first year with TWBC. 60,000 plus from Chile to Europe twice in that year. So I'm a believer.
And if you guys want, send in your applications to the Waterski Broadcasting email for
info@waterskibroadcasting.com.
Yep, info@waterskibroadcasting.com for job applications, so you can travel 65,000 miles per year and work for Vince and Tony and spend numerous memories just the same way I did.
Apply for your passport, folks. You're going to need it. It's a bumpy ride.
And also the Estia as well, which comes into force next year.
Apparently
there's a little bit of more red tape for Americans coming across to Europe. They have to pay some kind of reciprocity fee or what have you, know, but
it's okay. Vince pays for all.
How's your traveling been treating you, Tony, lately?
Traveling has been good. I mean, this trip around Europe is something I've always wanted to do, and especially by train, you know. I mean traveling by plane, even on the no frill flights, is one thing, but I mean staying on the ground and traveling by train and actually taking the night trains between Venice and Wien and Wien and Berlin. I mean that was everything I could have hoped for and then some.
And I think this trip is kind of the first trip as a crew where we're all of us a bit down to go home. Normally, I mean, like everyone, you go away from home, you're happy to be somewhere else, but after a while you're looking forward to be home. Now it's been a month we've been in Europe, we've been working a lot, and it feels like everything is smooth, and it feels like we could stay here for another month. I'm almost sad to be going home so soon, you know.
All right then, but home we will have to go within the next 48 hours. For those of you that are wondering what that noise is in the background, those are my clothes going through the spin cycle at the moment, making sure I've got some clean stuff to wear on the trip back. But this has been the latest edition of the TWBC podcast. My name has been Tony Lightford, and on the behalf of Vincent Stadelbauer, Connor Pauly, and Jeremy Shaw, it is ciao
for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC Podcast.